practicing, working into the our regular aspect of our lives this morning. And we're doing this coming off of several scriptures, but one in particular, the text verse, we might say, for the summer is 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, which at the end says, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And so this idea of God exercising toward godliness is known more, it's more well known by the term of spiritual disciplines. And so we're looking at those several different types of spiritual disciplines, or several different disciplines this summer. And today we're going to talk about evangelism. It's the discipline of evangelism. Some people, I think all of us, are tempted to think it's a gift of evangelism, but it's a discipline. So it's something that we all need to do. We'll get into this some. But some people maybe, we look at them and say, well, if I had those personalities, I could exercise this discipline more often. And maybe so, but that doesn't matter. It's still something that we need to do. Maybe we don't feel so comfortable at it. Some things that we're not comfortable at, we got to do. And something that we find is that the more we do something that's uncomfortable, the less uncomfortable it is. And I think I'm saying this every week, and I should be saying it every week if I'm not. I'm not the model here, but I've learned from this, and I've learned enough. I'm convicted enough by it that I think I need to share it with everybody. So let's get into this lesson on the discipline of evangelism. Hardly anything can be as exciting as being used by God to lead someone to Jesus Christ. And yet, the topic of our evangelism, often causes nervousness and shame, at least for me. If you're going to sit down and personally ask me about pointed questions about it, I do this and I do that, and I do a little bit, but I could exercise more here myself. But let's think some. Actually, not too long ago, a few months back, Pastor Olson, during the school year, gave some lessons on soul winning. And so this we should be able to move through this a little bit quicker, but taking just maybe a little different perspective on the subject. Let's think through some of this. There are different ways to evangelize, but we have to admit that evangelism is expected. And before we go through how we say that, what is evangelism? We could give a long definition of it or a short one. Here's a thorough one. Evangelism is to present Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit to sinful people in order that they may come to put their trust in God through him, to receive him as their Savior and serve him as their King in fellowship, or in the fellowship of his church. That's long. A simple definition would be communicating the gospel. Communicating the gospel. Anyone who faithfully relates the essential elements of God's salvation through Jesus Christ is evangelizing. So, communicating the gospel. Well, why is evangelism expected of us? Well, let's think about these verses that the Lord, or these statements that the Lord himself gave. We know them all, right? Matthew 28. 19 and 20, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke 24:47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." John 20, 21. You notice every single gospel and Acts as we get to it. "Then Jesus said to them," in John 20, 21, again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, Even so send I you. And then Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this command was given initially to the disciples. Actually, there in John 20:21, and some of these, in this command, he commissioned them to go, and that's the word for apostle. So the apostles, it was given to them. But what this is, just as a maybe a side note on what we believe about churches, the apostles, the disciples were the early church. They were the church that Jesus Christ founded and started, and would continue to build through the book of Acts upon the truth of his own death, burial, and resurrection. So they were the church. So Christ's commission wasn't just to those 12 men, it was to his church. And if we're a part of his church, we have that commission too. All of these commands, all these commissions to those, that early young church, apply to us because we're a part of his church too. So there's something I've already addressed it that comes to our mind and say, well, I just don't have that gift. The Bible talks about gifts. But evangelism is not a gift. There's a couple places where we see an evangelist being a gift to the churches, but evangelism is not a gift. We have various other gifts, but just like love isn't a gift, we're to love one another. Each believer is to evangelize, whether or not we are an evangelist. And that comes just from being a part of a church. Our church, as members of our church, we should be evangelizing. Then 1 Peter 2:9 is a neat, interesting verse to remember. So in the beginning of that 1 Peter 2:9, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." And we like that. God has chosen me. Each one of us is our own priest. We don't have to go to a Catholic priest or some other priest. We can talk to God ourselves because we're saved by God. We're a peculiar people. But then the next phrase in the same verse says that, right? So we're all those things, so that ye should show forth the praises. So that's witnessing. That's telling. That's evangelizing. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, as we think about evangelism, so we can see there that churches, members of churches, we are expected to evangelize. Now let's think about the power or the ability that is given to evangelism. Before we get into that specifically, let's think about why we have a hard time evangelizing. And that's the nice way to say it. Okay? The blunt and straightforward way to say it is, why do we disobey God's command to evangelize? There's a lot of reasons we could think about, things I've thought about myself. I mean, well, some people think you need a lot of specialized training. And it would be easy to come to that conclusion here. We teach every Sunday. We have a Christian school. We have a Bible college. And you see the Bible college students saying, well, they're getting trained to evangelize. And I don't have all that training. You need a lot of training to evangelize. Well, that specialized training, understanding what the gospel is and more elements of what the Bible teaches is helpful. But we don't have to have any specialized training. If you are saved, you understood the gospel enough to be able to turn to Christ for salvation, to believe on him, you should be able to communicate that to someone else. So specialized training is not needed necessarily. Sometimes We are afraid that people will think we're strange and will reject us. And that's true. We're prideful people. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want people, you know, for whoever the person is, we might even have a burden for them. Lord, please give me an opportunity to give the gospel to them. And then the Lord opens an opportunity. I don't know, like person says, so why, you know, things are bad around here. You seem like a conservative person. Why are you happy all the time? Well, I don't know. We just got an opportunity, but it's like, I like this relationship that I have with the person. I don't want them to think I'm strange or weird. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it is the method of witnessing we're asked to use. You're like, I'm just supposed to knock on doors and talk to people that I've never seen them before. Just knock on the door and say, you know what? You're a lost sinner. You're going to hell. But God has the truth for you. That's the truth, and maybe we don't have to say it that way, but in our minds we think, I got to do that? I can't do that. So there are different methods to evangelize. Maybe someday you get to do that, but there, you could, if you're like, I can't do that. There are other ways to evangelize, and we can think about some of those and make sure we're still obeying God's command, even if we're not the one, you know, knocking on the door, telling people that. I think one of the reasons that we don't evangelize like we should is because we realize it's really serious. It's very serious. It is, if we are concerned about giving the gospel out correctly, we're in an area where historically, I don't know how much anymore except that it's pervasive. Historically, people have been talked into just going through some motions and then being told that they're saved. And we're like, I don't want to be somebody that does that. I don't want to give somebody some false assurance, or I don't want to miss something. And then they're not really saved, but they think they're saved, and they think they're saved because I told them they were saved. And so there, it is very, very serious. It's life and death. And so we overburden ourselves with fear for that. I know I'm that way. I'm like, can I get it? Will I get it right? I don't know. So there's that. Sometimes we don't for that reason. I think that maybe is a very big reason for some of us. And then there's the reason that so many people reject it. We experience failure and rejection. You know, we're asking people, do you want to be saved? And they say, nope. If in any other business, if 90% of the people said no, you wouldn't continue. Okay? So we feel like, this isn't working. I'm a failure. Somebody else, I always hear about somebody else. They share the gospel and people get saved, but I can't share the gospel and people get saved. Maybe they have the gift and I can do other things. So we experience failure and rejection. And I say experience that way because we need to change our thinking. We need to change our mind. I have to change my thinking. What is success in evangelism? Is it when a person you witness to believes on Christ? Well, that is a success because in order to believe on Christ, you had to share the gospel with them. But that can't be our definition of success. Think about Jesus' ministry. After his death, how many followers were there with him or around him? After his resurrection and his ascension, how many followers were there in Jerusalem? 5,000, that men, not counting women and children? No. Multitudes from all the towns and villages around Galilee? No, there was 120 in the upper room. I think some of those people in Galilee, you know, this was Jerusalem. But a lot of people in the gospel accounts even, rich young ruler, turned away. So Jesus experienced evangelistic failure also, but he's not a failure. So we need to learn that sharing the gospel is successful evangelism. So not just, we ought to hand out tracts and stuff, but anytime we said evangelism is communicating the gospel. If we can communicate the gospel completely, that's a success. Now, sometimes you can go out and knock on doors, build up the courage, knock on those doors, and praise the Lord, nobody was home. That's the back and forth, right? Oh, I didn't have to say anything. Because we're nervous, we're scared. And some of you, if you're not, that's fine, just forgive me. This is me. But if we start to give the gospel and somebody cuts us off, you know, that's rejection, okay? And we weren't able to give the whole gospel. But if we can give the gospel, which includes a summons to turn from their sin and believe on Christ, then that's a success. When you're able to give the gospel, the response is not part of what the way we should think about being successful in evangelism. I have a pastor friend that I just love to talk about. He encourages me in my evangelism. He's such a much more bold and active soul winner. But he'll report, I was able to go out and gave the gospel, the whole gospel. He uses that term, the whole gospel. Because if you can give the whole gospel, you're a success. Remember that if you can give the whole gospel, you're a success. Because it's not us that saves the person. Evangelism is empowered, but it's not us that has the power. We need to learn that sharing the gospel is successful evangelism. Hopefully we're better than the postal service, but any postal delivery service, success of them is measured by the careful and accurate delivery of the mail. Not whether the person rips up the mail, you know, throws it out, doesn't read it. You know, there's a lot of mail I don't read. Is the mail service a failure because I throw the junk into the mail? No. The people, anyway. So all biblical evangelism is successful evangelism regardless of the truth. So the power for evangelism doesn't come from us, right? It comes from the Holy Spirit. From the instant he indwells us, he gives us the power to witness. But ye shall be witnesses unto me. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye I think I'm quoting that wrong. But either way, when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, he gives us power to evangelism. Evangelism is expected because God gives us the power to do it. We're not empowered to just all do it the same way, but we've all been given power to witness. How do we know that? Well, we have the Holy Spirit. How do we know we have the Holy Spirit? Has he changed your life? If God has changed your life, if the Holy Spirit has come into your life and changed your life, that same power that changed your life, that same person that gave you that changed your life, gives you power to evangelize. Now, he changed your life. Did he change your life the same way that he changed somebody else's life? No, he's personal. And so while he changed your life in an individual way, he also empowers you individually to evangelize. One way or another, he's given you the power, the ability to evangelize. And that should be an encouragement. You say, I just can't do that knocking on doors. And I'm not trying to say nobody should come to Harvesters, okay? Because you could go with somebody who does the knocking on doors and the talking, and you could just stand there with them and endure a little shame, right? All that live godly. What's the next verse in 2 Timothy 3? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we can do that. You say, well, I can't. I'm just too nervous to talk. Somebody else can talk. But also, God has given, he's changed your life individually. He's given you a way. He's given you a way. Not just to stand there while somebody else evangelizes. He's given you a way to evangelize people. Sometimes We have the power, or sometimes we have the power, but we don't perceive that we have the power. We don't feel like, well, we don't feel all this confidence. So, but just because we don't feel confidence, we should still be evangelizing. Figure out a way to give the gospel out. I wasn't very confident, but wow, I was able to give the whole gospel out. What is giving the whole gospel out? Success. Who made it possible for you to give the whole gospel out? Who worked in that person's life to make sure they didn't have a baby in the other room crying and had to run off, make sure they didn't have a phone ring, or make sure they just let the phone ring or decline the call so they would continue to listen to you give the gospel? The Holy Spirit did that. So that was a success. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us power even though we don't feel like we had any power. Well, isn't that, why would he do that? So that we don't get prideful, so that we recognize that the power comes from him, right? So besides the Holy Spirit giving power, the gospel itself carries power. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So different, all of us are different. The messengers are different. But the gospel, it is the gospel that God blesses. This doesn't mean that we can just kind of get on a megahorn and just quote the gospel in our van as we drive down the streets. And since it goes out there, everybody who happens to hear our horn is saved. Of course, not that. But it is through the gospel that God gives power to believe. People have to hear it. They have to know the gospel. And somehow, God uses the word of God, his word, to change their lives, to change people's lives. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A person said, sharing the gospel is like walking around in a thunderstorm and handing out lightning rods. Just hand out lightning rods. You don't know who's going to get the lightning strike, but if they've got the lightning rod, when it strikes, you know what's going to happen. They've got the power. They get the power. They get the shock. Okay, but giving the gospel out, you don't know who the Holy Spirit is going to hit with the power of the gospel and save, but it's got to be somebody who's gotten the gospel. So hand those lightning rods of the gospel out. Give the gospel out. The Lord will strike someone with repentance and faith, and they'll believe. And there's also power for evangelism. So there's power from the Holy Spirit, there's power in the gospel, and there's power in one living a sincere Christian life. So this can be illustrated by many a barbecue or smokehouse restaurant, right? You're driving through town, you smell that. Sometimes you're sitting all the way over here and you smell Wagner's wafting across. Like, oh, someday I'm going to go there. Sneak in, get it to go. You locals will know what I mean by that. But people driving by who aren't even thinking about being hungry, suddenly become interested in the message of that restaurant because of its aroma, because it's got a reputation. Paul describes this in 2 Timothy 2:14 through 17. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So Paul's life put off a savor, an aroma. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. I was thinking about that, and I think that they are in order. To the saved, Paul gives a savor of death. Savor of death. Well, death is sweet to the saved. Death is something that can be looked forward to the saved, but to those that perish, we're the savor of life. They see Paul's life, and they can have life, but they're perishing, but they can have life. Anyway, And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. So he lived a certain way through the power of God, and he spoke the gospel. So the most powerful ongoing Christian witness has always been the speaking of God's word by someone who's living God's word. So the Holy Spirit empowers us. The gospel is empowered. People can be empowered, but put all that together, that's the most powerful. Evangelism, finally, is a discipline, which is the whole reason we're talking about this morning. We should all be able to evangelize, but it's a discipline. Okay, I'm getting feedback from your faces that's like, yeah, I'm scared. How will I do it? I will always have an excuse not to. So I have to discipline. I have to put a time in my life when I'm just going to go do it. That's why Harvesters on Saturday morning is a great thing. You're going to go there? At least I'm going to do it there. That will give me practice. That will give me an opportunity. But we have to discipline ourselves to get into the context of evangelism. We're not going to be evangelizing here in the church building. We invite the lost here, but most of the time, we're not going to be evangelizing here. We have to get in a place where we can evangelize. We can't just wait for it to happen. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And that verb, let, isn't like just let people see. Let means to make it shine, make your light shine so that people can see your good works. And one of the things that in our busy world that the discipline of evangelism, one of the excuses that this discussion brings up is time. I don't have any time. How can I do that? But we shouldn't, as soon as we say this, we'll say, yeah, I don't want to stand before the Lord someday and say, well, I was too busy to obey the Great Commission. So let's just assume that all of our time-consuming responsibilities are God-given ones. Probably we give ourselves responsibilities, but let's just assume they all are. And let's allow that we don't have time for one more regularly scheduled activity on our calendar. Even if that's true, God still intends for each of his followers to share the gospel with unbelievers. So we have to figure out how to do that. Moms who are busy with children, they're rearing their children and they're giving the gospel to them. That's a way to fulfill the Great Commission. Supporting evangelistic work through your church financially is one way to fulfill the Great Commission. But there are unbelievers that are not in our family. And if no one in the church evangelizes, we all just give. Who are we giving to? We have to give to somebody who's going to do it. And if none of us are doing it, that won't work either. So we have to make ourselves get into situations where we can evangelize. We don't witness because we don't make a plan for it to happen. As a pastor, I live right there. My neighbors are saved. My workmates are saved. I could just fill my life with all ways and times that I'm never even around somebody that's lost. I need to build into my life some time to be around people that are lost. A Christian homemaker, busy at home, taking care of her family, may have very few or no opportunities to be around lost people. Even if you do work in the world, you might say, well, I'm always around lost people. At work, you're doing your job. You're not witnessing them, probably. Are there many circumstances where you're around them in a circumstance to be able to share the gospel? We have to work at finding ways to be able to share the gospel and then discipline ourselves to do it. So we've built the case for having to get into our lives sometimes when we can be around lost people and witness to them, and we will finish that up next week. How can we do that? What are some ways to get into that? And we'll finish and maybe start the next thing, or maybe we'll just review and then finish next week with the discipline of evangelism.